2. And we'll finish our little brief study. We studied all the prophecies of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation chronologically. We went through Revelation in detail. And then we just did this short little study on 7 reasons why the church cannot go into the tribulation period. We'll finish that and then we'll dive into the study that you voted for, which is a short little study on dispensations. And from there we'll go into the book of Acts. But for this morning, we're going to look at reason number 7. First, we'll review the first 6 reasons why the church as a body cannot go into the tribulation period. Anybody been taking notes and can tell us the first reason? Nobody? Phil? Okay. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is a Jewish dispensation, the tribulation is. It is the 70th week of Daniel. It is all about the Jews. We aren't Jews. We are the church, separate dispensational group. So that was number 1. Number 2, we were promised deliverance from the time of wrath. And that's what the tribulation is referred to as. It's the time of God's wrath poured out upon the earth. The church has been promised that it would be delivered from that. Jesus told us in Revelation 3, we'd be delivered from the hour of temptation. So the church has been promised deliverance. Number 3. The body. Right? The church is one body in Christ. And if the church goes into the tribulation period, remember we are Jesus and Jesus is us. If the church goes into the tribulation period, then God's going to be pouring out his wrath on Jesus. Again, it's a dispensational argument, but we're going to be taken as one. I don't believe they'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper in the tribulation period. That is a church ordinance. The church will be gone. So we are one body, and the one body can't go into the tribulation period, or you've got a mixture again. You've got the body of Christ with the Jews and the wrath being poured out on Jesus, which is the body. Okay, that was 3. Number 4. One of the most important reasons. Anybody remember? Starts with an I-M-M. Beryl? Imminence. What does that mean? What does that mean, imminence? It's not a Bible word, but we looked at a lot of scriptures on this. What does imminence mean? Anybody remember? Beryl? Exactly. From the time of the disciples until now, the return of Jesus Christ for the church has always been imminent, which means at any moment. Paul actually thought Jesus would come back in his time before he died. John thought the same. And from the day of the Bible was written till now, the church has believed and has been told to be watching for what? Jesus. He's going to come as a thief in the night. It's imminent. At any moment, Jesus is going to return. And we're to watch for him. We're not told to watch for the Antichrist, which if the church went into the tribulation period, that would be a milestone. We could mark our calendars when he stepped into the temple in Jerusalem and claimed to be God. We could say, yep, 3.5 years from now, Jesus will return. The imminency would be gone. So it's imminent, his return, which must mean that the return of Jesus Christ is in 2 phases. One to the clouds, as we're told, and one to the earth to set up his kingdom. Number 5, it was in Revelation 4 and 5. Beryl? Right. So if you take the book of Revelation chronologically, which we should, we have the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then we don't hear from them again or about them again because we find the 24 elders in Revelations 4 and 5 in heaven with their crowns and their white robes of righteousness singing that they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So the 24 elders must be representative of the church in heaven worshiping the Lord. They've been through the judgment seat of Christ. They've received their crowns. They're casting them at Jesus' feet. And so there's that interval there. And then number 6, last week we looked at 2 Thessalonians 2, which was what? Beryl's not allowed to answer this one. Somebody else has to answer number 6. What was reason number 6? Are we going to have to go over these again? Mark, remember? What was it? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. Remember we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Bible says that he is holding back the Antichrist. Now, he's always been everywhere because he's God. He was involved in creation. But during the church age, he actually indwells us permanently. We are his temple. The Bible doesn't say that will be true in the tribulation period. Matter of fact, when the church leaves, in a sense, the Holy Spirit leaves with the church, right? And that's when the restrainer, the one who's been holding back the Antichrist, will be taken out of the way so that then the Antichrist can have his way. And we read in Daniel chapter 9, when we looked at the 70 weeks, sure enough, the Antichrist is involved right from the beginning, the tribulation period. But it's halfway through that then he turns his back on the Jews, and you know the story. So today, the last and seventh reason is quite a simple one. It's dispensational as well. But who would read verses 13 to 15 of 1 Peter 2? And we'll get this seventh reason under our belts. Any volunteers? 13 to 15 of 1 Peter 2. Mr. Scott, thank you.
Submit yourselves to every word of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governments as unto them that are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that will with well doing ye may put to silence ignorance of foolish men.
All right, so the seventh reason, and we'll look more scriptures, is that the church is told to obey the government, right? We all understand this. We all believe this. We're told to pay our taxes. We're told to obey the government. Will that admonition or command work during the tribulation period? Why would it not be wise to obey the government in the tribulation period? Mark? What? Mark of the Beast. The government's going to order people to take the mark of the beast, or they're not allowed to buy or sell. So that would be a bit of a dilemma. On the one hand, you're told that if you take the mark of the beast, you can't go to heaven. But on the other hand, we're told to obey the government. So which is it? Again, it's a dispensational argument. It's because the church isn't going to be there, so the church won't have to follow this admonition. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, we should disobey the government during the tribulation period and flee the government. Flee to the hills, right? And hide. So let's pray and get started on this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to study your word. And I pray, Lord, that it would just help us to get a better understanding of your plan for us and how excited we should be of your return. But Lord, guide us in truth. And I pray you'll be glorified in this time and each of us will grow through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this government is described for us in Revelation 13. Let's turn there. Now we studied this, obviously, but let's just get a quick glance at it again. I'm told that one of the reasons why 13 is a superstitious number is because Revelation 13 is where the beast and his mark is introduced. Never actually researched to confirm that's true. But, you know, in the States, hotels don't have a 13th floor. And that's a fact. If you go to a hotel that's got, say, 20 or 30 floors, they don't have a 13th floor. They skip it. Why would that be? Because people are superstitious. That's why. Anyway, chapter 13 is where we find the most about the beast, the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us that verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Bible tells us that verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand, that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We're all quite familiar with the mark of the beast, but in the tribulation period, there will be only one government. When we studied Revelation, we found this to be true because, as we just read, all kingdoms, all peoples will be worshiping the Antichrist. We're told in Daniel that he will sit in the temple. We're told in 2 Thessalonians he will sit in the temple as God, and the whole world will worship him. And there will be one government system. And that government system will order everyone on the earth to follow their system to buy and sell, which is take a mark. The mark of the beast. But we're told later on in Revelation that if we have the mark of a person who has the mark of the beast will not go to heaven. They will go to the lake of fire. So that it would be a bit of a dilemma if the church went into the tribulation period and is admonished to obey the government. It's not like now where there's 200 governments. You know, because you could argue, well, if you find yourself in a regime that's so wicked that you can't obey it, what should you do? Well, you should flee. You should run to another country. But in the tribulation period, there's not another country to run to. There's just one. There's one government system run by the Antichrist. So you can't flee. Well, you can flee, which is what Jesus tells us to, but I'm saying you can't switch countries. The whole world will be under this system where they're ordered by the quote-unquote government to obey, to worship the Antichrist, and part of that worship is you have to take the mark. So, not as prominent of a reason, but that's the seventh reason why the church won't be in the tribulation period. And we'll cover it a little bit more when we look at dispensations, but we'll stop with that. Anybody have any questions?